As Sarah mentioned, my name is Ava Maynor, and I bring you greetings from North Carolina, from the North Carolina Institute for Public Health and the UNC Gillings School of Global Public Health. It is my pleasure to share with you today a little bit about our approach to advancing and building capacity in the state of North Carolina at the local level to adapt, implement, and evaluate evidence-based public health strategies. So just want to give you my disclosure. I have no disclosures. And a little bit about the North Carolina Institute for Public Health. It sits within the UNC Gillings School of Global Public Health, and I work in the Training and Technical Assistance Unit. The Institute actually serves as the service arm of the Gillings School of Global Public Health, bridging academic and practice settings, providing training, conducting research, and technical assistance. So for the next few minutes, we're going to discuss the collaborative partnership that we have created in an effort to train local practitioners on evidence-based public health strategies. I might refer to those as EBS. I will list the components of the training that we now offer and describe the preliminary impact that the training has and some of our key lessons learned over the last couple of years. So there's a lot of action going on currently in North Carolina to promote evidence-based public health, and we know that evidence-based practice helps, particularly in lean times, making sure that practitioners are implementing things that have been proven to work. So it's very important that we're able to incorporate evidence into management decisions, the implementation of programs, into clinical services, and even policy development. A number of the words here on the map you might be familiar with: evidence-based strategies, quality improvement, community health improvement, consolidated agreements, accreditation. These are all processes that support the same goal of improving health and wellness for the people in North Carolina. So since 2002, the State Health Department, the North Carolina Division of Public Health, has mandated that local public health departments conduct community health assessments every 3 years. And this process includes the implementation and the use of objectives from the North Carolina Healthy 2020. Healthy 2020 is the state's community health improvement process. It includes objectives, and each of the health departments have to use these objectives in their community health assessment process. Since this fiscal year, there's been a new requirement that also includes the use of evidence-based strategies, but takes it a step further to designate that local communities, local health agencies, have to also include action plans for how they will address these evidence-based strategies. So taking it a step further, asking for action plans around staffing, implementation, the monitoring, and the evaluation of those strategies. So we know that many practitioners continue to face some challenges in identifying even the appropriate evidence-based strategies to implement, and then challenges around tailoring those strategies in order to implement them effectively in their communities. Our approach really helps practitioners to think practically about what it is they want to accomplish and how they are going to implement those strategies. So we want to make sure that practitioners are using strategies that are guided by the community health assessment data and the community health assessment priorities that they have conducted in their communities. We want to make sure that they identify the resources, human capital, as well as community capital, that are necessary in order to implement the strategies. So it might not be all the resources that they have within their actual organization, but that they have access to within the community and the community assets through their partners even. Want to make sure that they think about what is necessary, and that is considering the evidence, considering the research, to they have what they need in order to implement the strategy with fidelity. Want to make sure they're doing the consistent steps that will lead to the most success, to make sure it's as effective as possible. And then always wanting to think about evaluation. Are they collecting the evaluation measures that are necessary? So a collaborative partnership came to be in 2013 out of an opportunity given by the Prevention Research Center at that time at Washington University. So Ross Brownson, who is known for the National Evidence-Based Public Health Curriculum, sent out an opportunity to test their curriculum in other states. So North Carolina was one of 8 states that participated, and it gave us an opportunity to build this collaborative partnership. One or two of the members of this partnership are in the audience today. This allowed us to bridge academic, practice, local health department staff, and nonprofit organizations to come together to provide training to support the work that was being mandated by the state health department. So the mandate came first, and then this partnership developed in an effort to provide training and technical assistance to the locals in order for them to better implement the mandate from the state. So the North Carolina Institute for Public Health, along with the Prevention Research Center at UNC, we have representation from local health districts, faculty, and the Center for Public Health Quality in North Carolina as well. So a very broad group of organizations. And one of the nice things about this collaborative partnership is that no one person owns the training. This is truly a collaborative. Whoever has funding at the time leads. And so we're able to share ownership and continue the training. It's a beautiful collaboration. The original training curriculum that was developed by Ross Brownson and his team was very academic focused, and it was geared towards state level practitioners. So it included 3 days of on-site training and the 8 modules that are listed here. This is where we began. Our first training, as I mentioned, was done through Ross Brownson as a test with 7 other states. We since then have had the opportunity to tailor the curriculum for implementation at the local level in North Carolina, and that's where we're going to focus. The feedback that we received from the initial training indicated that there still are several challenges to implementing evidence-based strategies on the local level. We've listed a few of those here. And this is probably not specific to North Carolina, but I think the challenges are different from a state level planning for a program versus local level implementation. A number of the external and internal pressures and politics that exist on the local level are very different than what a state level practitioner would encounter. And then not even understanding or knowing what information to trust was one of the key challenges that we found from the local level. Having a lot of information out there, but knowing what the readily available sources that you reputable sources, and how to evaluate the level of information that you would find on the website or on the web. So taking some of that information that we saw from the pilot program and doing some in-person interviews with local level practitioners, we made modifications to the training. Those modifications including adding content on how to adapt evidence-based strategies and interventions, needing to include more information on the quality improvement process and thinking through implementation planning, but then also adding information about communication and sustainability. And a lot of times we say the word sustainability and people often think, oh, well, that's money. If we don't have money, we can't sustain our strategies. But sustainability is more than just dollars. It was also very important for this audience and content for us to add thread examples, and these are strategies that we incorporate into each of the modules, each of the training units, so that practitioners can understand from beginning to end what it would look like in the planning, in the implementation and evaluation phases. We also continue to focus them to bring them back to the use of the community health assessment data, because again, that is one of the mandates from their funding agency, from the state health department, in that they have to conduct a community health assessment. Well, we want them to use that information to guide the work that they're actually going to do. We don't want them to do a community health assessment and put it on the shelf and then in a separate process begin to think about what strategies and programs they're going to implement. And it was very important for us with this content and the audience that we have, in order to advance change and skill, we needed to create a blended training program. The in-person program seemed to be information overload, which I'm sure you can understand, coming, having lots of presentations, doing some work, but then going back to their organization and being the sole person to attend a training. It was very challenging, we found, for people to make changes to the work that they were doing based on just their attendance at a training. So we created a more blended type of learning opportunity that included pre-work that they did via online modules prior to their coming to the in-person sessions, and then even some capacity building post-training activities, phone calls, and webinars that they do following the in-person training. So this is the new revised model that we're using right now. This is the North Carolina Evidence-Based Public Health Training modules. There are 7 modules. This takes place on site. So this is the structure for which we train. It is a continuous process. So starting with assessing your community, again, wanting to make use of what they're already being asked to do, and walking practitioners through the following steps. The blended curricula includes pre-training online modules, again, starting with the Healthy North Carolina 2020, the state health act, the state's health act, health improvement plan, HIP, and then evidence-based strategies 101, getting all the practitioners caught up and using the same language, because a lot of times we have different organizations across even our own state that use strategies and evidence in different ways. So we want to put everyone on the equal playing field, and then do an introduction to community health assessment. And again, this is all done in partnership with all of those partners. So working with the state health department, working with faculty members to create these online modules is one of the strongest things that I can say about our training, and that these modules are coming out of what is most current and what practitioners are being asked to do from the state level. So it's not just what the evidence finds and what the research shows, but also is very much tailored to what the expectations are for practitioners within our state. And that's a key benefit of this, of the partnership. There are still on-site training, so those 7 modules are presented in a 2-day training course that also includes skill-building sessions such as meeting facilitation and logic models, so very basic information that some feel necessary. And then there are post-training webinars on additional topics to continue to bridge and build that level of knowledge. So after practitioners go home, 4 to 6 weeks after that in-person training, once they've had an opportunity to digest some and even start to share information back with their team members in their agencies, then we're able to provide specific implementation TA and guidance through coaching, webinars, and phone calls to help them implement specific strategies that they want to focus on. So thus far, we have trained over 185 practitioners. In 2013, we held the first training pilot, and that was done with funds from Washington University. Since then, we have tailored and held 5 trainings across North Carolina, and we are very proud that we're able to travel. So we aren't focused centrally in one region of the state, but we are traveling this training to the east and western parts of our state to make it most accessible to practitioners at the local level. Over 70% of our training participants come from local health departments, and they are our intended audience for this. We also have had some hospital and nonprofit participants. We have participants from foundations as well, and some academic partners. Most of the training participants are health educators, and a lot of them are program coordinators, including nursing supervisors, who typically play a lead role in the community health assessment process as well. So this is the state of North Carolina, and as I mentioned, we have been west all the way far as east, and we have had participants from 60 out of the 100 counties in North Carolina. So we do ask and have asked participants what were the main gains that they achieved or received from the training, as well as what changes in practice they plan to make as a result of attending the training. And so I'm not going to read each of these. Hopefully they're large enough so that you can see some of them. But just to point out a few, we heard from one participant that attending this training prepared me for what is coming in my new job, because this year we have to use evidence-based strategies when we do our action plans for community health assessments. So this is exactly the intent here. We want to provide guidance and technical assistance to help practitioners do the job that they are being asked to do. We want to help improve their practice. And I'm better equipped to teach others about the importance of and how to find and select evidence-based strategies. Again, we are not asking them to create things from scratch. We're helping them to find the best reputable information that is possible. So some lessons learned. As I mentioned, in order to advance skill and change practice with local level practitioners, we found that a blended curriculum was what was needed. I'm sure in many states, as in North Carolina, travel restrictions are a barrier. So having condensed time on site and allowing some work to be done ahead of time as well as afterwards via online training resources, it's cut down on the travel, and it also encourages continuity with the post-training webinars. The having things presented in multiple ways is always beneficial. There has been an ongoing challenge of how to access evidence-based literature, and this was definitely one thing that was an eye-opener for some of us. But within the partnership, being able to bridge local practitioners with area resources to give them access to literature has been a major benefit. So in North Carolina, we have the AHEC system, the Area Health Education Centers, and they're located regionally. And so being able to put practitioners in contact with their AHECs, which have paid librarians who are happy to help them, has been one of the key benefits. Also needing to explore ways to encourage networking and sharing information, because the training creates a pool of people who have been through the training, who have a current level of knowledge, and they're able to communicate as alumni of the training and share information. That has also been a benefit across the state. And then the targeting webinars and coaching calls that we are providing. So our next steps, we are assessing pre- and post-training competencies, and we're in the process of creating a 6-month post-training evaluation to measure transfer of learning. So I thank you. I want to acknowledge all of our funders. As I mentioned, our partners have shared the burden of funding in order to keep the training going. So we started with training from the Prevention Research Center, Washington University, and right now our training is from the Comprehensive Cancer Control and Collaborative of North Carolina. Thank you. Thank you.